but it was like 6 or 7 years ago. But the day before I did, and one of my last quiet times, I'd been going out to the river every single day, and I kind of had a spot where I was standing in the river. And the spot was always wading in as far into the river as I could go. And the water would be somewhere around my knees, but that was right around the point where there was a drop-off. And I knew that one more step into the water, and the water would be over my head. And then wherever the river would take me, it would take me. But I would go as far as I could, and I would just stand there. And I remember in the day before I heard God speak for the last time, I was standing there, and I was speaking to God, and I was asking him, like, God, what do you want of me? Where do you want me to go? And I recall just imagining the river just feeling like the Holy Spirit. And it was just beckoning, encouraging me, just flowing around me. And I knew that one more step forward led into the unknown. One more step, and I would no longer be in control. The river would take me where it would. And as I stood there, I looked to my left or my right, and I could see the places in the mud still encased where I had stood in the previous days. And I just had felt in my life forever when I had got to this point, I had never taken that step. I had always stopped on the edge of unknown and pondered what it would be like to step into it, and I never did. It was then that I made a decision, God, I will step into the unknown, and I will go wherever it is that you would have me go. And I will do so willingly, encouragingly, joyfully. And it's changed my life. And it was this community that taught me that that was something to aspire to. It wasn't until I came to this community that I saw people who live their lives like that. It's what kind of gave me the courage, right, and the conviction to make that step. But I have to tell you, I've never felt more proud to be part of this community than I have in the last few months. We've had a difficult couple of years. And it is difficult, even as an individual, to stand on the edge of unknown and to take that step, trusting the Holy Spirit. But it's even more difficult to do that as a body and as a group. And have I seen this community on the edge of making that step? I have just been more and more proud that this community really trusts the Lord. We really trust the Lord. We trust it with our future, with our friends, with our family. And I've just really felt this peace that we're all going to be making this step together into the unknown. So with that, as I offer this update, I would just encourage you to just constantly be thinking about that we are all making this step together. And as we're encouraging and praying for each other, just knowing that this doesn't have to be one made out of fear. There's the anticipation, there's the joy, there's the excitement that goes from living a life following God, living a life chasing the Holy Spirit, not just as ourselves, but as an entire community. And as the name Adventure is in the title of who we are, what better way for us for that to be part of our identity than for as a community to say, yes, we live adventure. We live to that name by following the Holy Spirit. Following the Holy Spirit into the unknown and taking that step. Go ahead and click to the next slide. So, and a lead pastor search update. So, one of the things that we have, and by the way, just in this process, so you know that the lead team, we've been adding in outside counsel. So we've been Converge, inviting them in to come in and provide basically counsel into the process. We've reached out to Cascade, who is our founding church, and have asked for like their HR representatives or asking their leadership to also kind of speak into the process, not basically to decide what to do, but adding counsel so none of us on the lead team have done this before. So we're asking for people from the outside to provide their expertise into this. One of the things that we started with and we revised to was to create a job description. So a job description has been created, and there will actually be a job for the lead pastor that is posted. Our goal right now is for Monday that it will be posted on our website. And on the job description, it basically will have have the things that we basically say, the title of what we're looking for in a lead pastor, but it's also going to be specifically for an internal candidate search. So as we have identified, like, for an internal selection committee, we have decided that primarily we're going to seek internally first, and that will be phase one. Now, if you go to our Constitution, the Constitution merely advises that says when you're looking for an overseer, which is a lead team, or a lead overseer, which is the lead pastor, it says that to primarily look internally, but it's permissible to look externally. So as a lead team, we had basically the choice to say that we can primarily look internally, but it is also permissible for us to look externally. So we've spent a long time in prayer just asking where God wants to lead us, and we really felt comfortable that God was leading us, first of all, to say, let's build a search committee made from the members of this body to look internally first. And so a search committee will be formed, and I've put basically the mission statement for what this search committee is. It's to identify whether there is an internal candidate who should be presented to the membership for a vote. So keep in mind, I'll just kind of the specifics of the way this is worded. The role of this search committee that will be formed is not to find an internal candidate. The goal is to identify whether there is an internal candidate who should be presented to this body for a vote. It would be an equally okay and good decision for this search committee to come back to say, we don't feel like the Lord is bringing an internal candidate that should be presented to the body. We believe that we should be looking external. So with every step in the process, as an internal selection committee is looking at this, part of their option might be, we don't believe that there is an internal candidate who should be leading Adventure. So therefore, our specific vote should be that we are looking external. The other thing to know is that this internal selection committee is not selecting the lead pastor. They're merely looking to see whether there's an internal candidate who should be presented to this body for a vote. But it's the members of this community who will vote and select the next lead pastor. So after the internal committee has accomplished their goal, if they find that there's an internal candidate who they believe can be presented to this group, who they think can receive a 75% approval, which, by the way, is the requirement that this membership body has to vote with a 75% approval for any candidate who's presented. But their role is they would provide a candidate, and there would be at least 2 weeks between when a candidate was provided, between when a date is when all of the members of Adventure could get together and vote. So some of the So I'm giving just a few more of the details on what the selection committee will look like. First of all, is that the committee is going to be a public and not a private group, which means that it could be done where there's kind of a private selection committee is off looking this. But we have decided that in this case, we wanted to be a public group. So there's going to be a wide number of people, members who are going to be asked to say, would you be part of the selection committee? But when the committee is finally formed and people have signed on to it, the list of people, it's going to be a public group. And the goal is here, you should see, as I list up here, it's demographically representative. The group is going to be, the goal would be when it's done is that it would be a broad mix, a pretty equal mix between genders. So men and women of the church would be a part of the group. We want to see a mix of ages, everywhere from people in their, who recently turned 18, you have to be 18 to vote, so you have minimum 18, but all the way up through our seniors. So you would see an age demographic, you would see a gender demographic, something where you could look at the body of people in the selection committee and you would say, I believe that this represents a good representation of the body. So, and then finally, that the voting on the selection committee will be anonymous. So even though the selection committee will be together, will be looking at candidate information, will be having discussions together, their individual voices, we really wanted to protect that however their conscience was leading them, however God was leading them, that would be protected. So on the selection committee themselves, their votes will be anonymous. So everybody will have a chance to, on the committee, we'll see candidate information, see the protect. The options that we have, but when it comes to voting, is there an internal candidate that you would choose, or do you think that there is no internal candidate who should be presented? They will each have a chance to make that vote anonymously. So it kind of protect each individual from, you know, if there was any kind of, there might be like one person who has like a lot of opinions on it, but we're really asking that for each person that they would just, they would be protected to make that vote as their conscience would lead them. And in terms of the timing for the selection committee, if we can get it posted by Monday, which is our goal, we're really looking to have basically that job open for about 2 weeks before the first selection committee would be formed, when we would start to actually look at candidates. So right now, our target date for the first time the selection committee would meet be Saturday the 14th. And the goal would be that if you get approached to be on the selection committee, that we would be looking to have at least two, basically all day Saturdays to look at the internal candidates. At the end of that, we would decide, do we need additional time, or have we reached a decision? In the event that the selection committee, they go through the process and it determines that there is no internal candidate, then basically we would go on to phase two, which would be an external candidate search. And this committee for this one, which is just formed for doing the internal, would basically close, and then we would present, okay, now we're moving to an external process, and we would come back, and me or another lead team member would come back and then invite you once again into what the external candidate search would look like. So I know I've just given you a ton of information here. Just so you know, as we post the job description, the job posting online on Monday, I'm also going to be posting this and more details on what the search committee looks like. As you're going through it, I'm sure it may bring you lots of questions on how it will be formed and what it looks like and the kind of decisions that will be made. Please either seek me out or send an email to info@adventure.com. Ask your questions. It will help me and the other lead team members to know what additional information do you need, like, or would you like to have to know about this process. Thank you. BJ?
Thanks, Seth. Just to clarify, that email is info@adventurecommunitychurch.com. That can be found in your bulletin if you have any questions or comments. We're going to jump into, we're continuing our series called Be the Church, and I'd love to just pray before we get started, if you'd join me. Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing, for the adventure that you are guiding us on. So Jesus, we just submit this time to you, and we submit this process to you. Lord, we want your will for adventure, for this church, for its leadership, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, for those of you who are married, how many of you guys remember being newlyweds? Just kind of the freedom and joy of it, the carefree nature. Nicole and I have been married 9 years, and I was just reflecting back on what our life looked like. We moved into our first apartment, 2-bedroom apartment, about 1,000 square feet, and we only had one, I was about to say furniture. It wasn't really a piece of furniture. It was an air mattress. That was literally the only thing we owned at the time. And it was our couch, it was our dining room table, it was our bed, that was really all that we had. But I look back on that time with so much joy and fondness, because the joy of being a newlywed is we didn't care. We didn't care that that was all that we owned. And when you get married, you jump into it with this eagerness and joy, the faith of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter, we'll figure it out. It's all going to work out as long as we have each other. Now, all of you who have been married for longer than, you know, a year, know that there are some things that you need to do in order to, you know, be successful in your marriage and in life. And, you know, but that time of being a newlywed is important. And there's important lessons that God has established for that time, that if you don't establish in that season, then you'll be in trouble later on. That point of being in love and celebrating and being carefree and having complete faith and confidence in your relationship together. The reason I bring that up is because we're looking at our series is Be the Church, and we're looking at the church in Acts. And I want to look at the church in Acts through the lens of newlyweds. And I say that because the Acts church at this point, we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. You guys can go ahead and open to that. I'll have verses on the screen as well. But to kind of set the stage, Jesus has already been crucified, resurrected, and ascended. And earlier in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes to the disciples. And the disciples are gifted with the ability to speak in tons of different languages that they didn't know. And this crowd gathers and they hear all their languages. The crowd can hear their original languages, languages that the disciples never knew. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they hear their voice. They hear their original language and they're able to experience the gospel. And then immediately following that, the disciple Peter gets up and gives kind of almost the first gospel message. And that's where we pick up our story. And like I said, it's Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and I'm going to go ahead and start there. It said, "So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Reverential awe came over everyone, and many wonders and miraculous signs came about by the apostles. All who believed were together and held everything in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and distributing the proceeds to everyone, as anyone had need. Every day they continued to gather together by common consent in the temple courts, breaking bread from house to house, sharing their food with glad and humble hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And the Lord was adding to their number every day those who were being saved." It's an incredible picture. And I think a lot of times when I've read that passage, I've looked at it and gone, man, how come church isn't like that? How come we don't gather every day in the temple and or the church? How come we don't gather every day and we sell everything and give to whoever has need and we all celebrate and everything's perfect and happy? You know, now the reality is church doesn't work like that. There's going to be complications and things will change. That early church will go on to mature and to learn many things that are important to the successful operation of a church. But there's something really beautiful about this time. Because right now in this time, in the passage that we're looking at in Acts, it's the first time ever in the history of mankind that all of the believers are united by the Holy Spirit individually in them. The first time ever. And it brings them together and there's this magic and community, and they come together and they love each other. And they're so passionate about God and so passionate about each other that all they want to do is spend time with each other. And they sell everything they have and they give to whoever they have or whoever has need. And they eat together. And it says they break bread together, which can mean communion, but it also can just mean they ate together. It's amazing. That fellowship and that beauty is an important lesson for us as we look. And so I wanted to just look at what are the ways that they are like newlyweds. I've explained a little bit. First is they met daily in the temple. Every day they met, they came together. That's incredible. But it begs the question, when did they work? I don't know, all right? You know, they didn't care about work. You don't need to work. Everybody can just keep selling stuff indefinitely. They must have had a lot of stuff. So in that sense, they were like a newlywed. They kept selling everything, and they did everything together. They were always with each other. And it says they came together with common consent, and everybody had this reverential awe, it says in Acts. It's beautiful. It's just like being a newlywed. It doesn't matter that all Nicole and I ate was cereal for the first month that we were married. We didn't care. We just loved each other. And that's like the church in Acts. They didn't care. They didn't care that nobody went to work. They just loved each other. And they loved Jesus. And that's beautiful. We'll learn later on in Acts, or the Acts church would learn, some important things about being a mature church. Some things, this is not an all-inclusive list, but some things that the Acts church would go on to learn is first, they began to set up weekly meetings, as we see later on in Acts and also in 1 Corinthians. All right, so at some point, the daily meeting broke down. People had to go to work. Later on, we see that leadership was established. They established elders and deacons and people to help carry the weight of the church and the process moving forward. They began to set money aside for the work of the church. And there's actually whole passages devoted to, hey, you have to actually go to work and take care of your family and give to the church. And they had to learn that process, that you can't just continue to sell everything. At some point, somebody's going to have to work. At this point in church, everybody's happy and everybody's getting along. And that went on forever. They lived happily ever after. Obviously, later on, it wasn't until three chapters later that church discipline occurred. They had to institute that. Everything didn't work perfectly all the time. They had to navigate that. They had to mature. A critical one is they did not know that the church included Gentiles. At this point, everyone there, they didn't know that Gentiles were going to be equal heirs. That's a very important piece of maturity that they didn't know. At this time, everybody wouldn't have known that. It's not till later on that Peter goes and shares the gospel with the Gentiles. Another important one for the Gentiles, later on, the Jerusalem Council decides that circumcision is no longer required. It's a very important piece for the Gentiles. Next, it says that in Acts 2:47, we're told that the church had the goodwill of all the people. The church was well-respected and esteemed. And it's not until Acts chapter 7, only five chapters later, that they'd see essentially the first Christian martyr following Jesus. Now, that important season of love and carefree and joy is what prepared them for what would come. They came together and they didn't have worries or concerns. They just loved Jesus and they loved each other. And it's a beautiful picture, just like marriage. Nicole and I, we've been married 9 years, and we've had to grow up a little bit. We have three kids, and we have to change diapers and have to pay rent and go to work, and we can't just sit around eating cereal all the time. We have, you know, health issues to consider. We had to grow up in the sense, but looking back at that, I don't want to look back at that time, you know, and go, oh man, we were foolish. Because that's an important season. And it's the foundation of love and pursuit and trust in each other. The part that the Bible describes as leaving and cleaving that had to happen for us to go on to encounter many of the challenges, good challenges together. Had we not had that foundation of love, those challenges would have been hard. I remember, our kids being born. It's a beautiful miracle. And it's very similar in the sense because, you know, when you find out that your wife is pregnant and you're celebrating and everything's great until, you know, she gets morning sickness like 2 weeks later. And then, you know, you have the baby and it's beautiful and it's amazing and it's this miracle. And then you have to change diapers and get up all night. And those of you who have kids know that it's a beautiful miracle. But if you haven't had the preparation of love and trust together, it's a challenge. Absolutely, it's a challenge. So the important thing that the Acts church learned was that their first love was loving God and loving each other. And Jesus describes the great commandment as our first responsibility is to love God. And the second is to love others. And that's what the Acts church understood. That was their primary focus. That was their goal. That was the lesson they needed to learn during that time. And the way they did that, they spent all their time together. It says they focused on the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. That's what they devoted their time to, was spending time together, loving God, and loving each other. And so we're going to be kind of short today because we have a financial meeting that's taking place after this service to talk about where we're going next. And but as I was really praying through kind of the Acts church and the example, I thought the timing of it was really key. Because as we go through it and we talk about some things, some responsibilities of the church, our finances and being good stewards and where God's going to lead us next, it's important that throughout this entire process, we don't forget what are our first loves. We love Jesus and we love each other. We come together in community, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer, and focus on the teachings of Jesus. And so I want to end with a challenge. And the challenge is this: to spend time together as a church. Myself included, I felt really challenged because there's been so many things that we've had to cover. A lot of responsibilities, and this season of just fall and winter is busy anyway. And I think I felt kind of the desire to have more fellowship with you. And so I wanted to just challenge each of us to invite another family out to lunch or over to dinner this week. Would you do that? Let's love each other as a community. Just reach out. And it doesn't matter who it is. Just find somebody and say, you're coming over. And then next, as we go into our financial meeting, just as I conclude, I'll close in prayer. But let's not forget what our first loves are. First love is Jesus. And then we need to love each other. So let me go ahead and close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for this time. And Lord, and while our time is short to look at the examples in Acts, Jesus, I pray that you would seal what your word is communicating to us. And Lord, that we would come together in fellowship and prayer and studying your word. Jesus, would you bless our time together? Would you grow us together as a community? Would you help us to love each other and to love you? And not to get lost in the responsibilities of life or the responsibilities of growing up as a church as we continue to gain maturity. Help us to remember who we are and what's our foundation based on. And Jesus, we thank you in your name. Amen. So before we dismiss to the meeting, Susan, what time do we need to come back? 11:32. So what we need each of you to do is we're going to have our financial meeting here at 11:32. And so what we want to do is dismiss you to go actually get your children and come back. In the back, we have tables set up with coloring pages and things to kind of help parents. And then Stanley is going to be running our financial meeting. So you have 7 minutes, I think it is, to go. And so rush, go grab your kids and join us back here.